Hello and welcome to the Vote Common Good podcast. We're mobilizing people of faith to make the common good their voting criteria and to pursue faith, hope, and love for a change on Election Day and prevent the re-election of Donald Trump. On today's show, Doug Padgett talks with filmmakers Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain. Their newest project, Boys State, follows 1,000 teenage boys attending a week-long summer camp where they build a representative government from the ground up. The film won the U.S. Documentary Competition Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival. Pretty big deal. It's a fascinating, hopeful conversation. Let's get into it. Here's your host, Doug Padgett.
Yeah, super excited about this. Vote Common Good, you know, as a group that we're trying to get evangelicals to stop the re-election of Donald Trump. Not just think differently, we're trying to bring an end to what we consider the madness in this country. So Boys State, it was a very interesting and thrilling show for us to watch. My wife and I watched it the other night. Congratulations. It's great. So tell people a little bit about it. I had never heard of Boys State, which is this like kind of political camp that happens all over the country, but the one you followed was in Texas.
That's right. We actually didn't grow up going through the program. I knew vaguely about it because Bill Clinton had gone through it, and I'd seen a photograph of him when he was running for president as a young man shaking JFK's hand in the Rose Garden at some kind of Boys State event. And I was like, oh. But didn't think much about it until 2017. And you mentioned the madness. And I think that at that time, we, Amanda and I, were struggling, like many Americans, to understand this kind of political madness that seems to have consumed us, this intractable political division. We read about Boys State in Texas. The boys that year had voted to secede from the Union. And this was kind of a playful but provocative and politically relevant gesture. And we thought, well, this is interesting. And also, this is an unusual space in American life because the program brings together people on the left and the right to actually talk to each other in the same room. And that seems really rare. So we thought maybe that's an interesting space to look at for us, just to kind of wrestle with these questions.
And you're filmmakers, and I just learned that you're married, so that's sort of fun in its own right. But you, it strikes me that filmmakers like you, especially documentary filmmakers, like you look at the world through a really different lens, figuratively, I guess, and literally. Like, you're thinking about how you could tell the story, how these moments that other people would hear about or notice, like, you're thinking about that this is a story to be told. What was it about a boys' political camp of 1,000 boys in Texas that felt to you like, hey, that's a story. There's something more to it than just the sort of the political moment, but as filmmakers thinking other people are going to see themselves in that story. Because I'll say I watched it and you accomplished it. I mean, I found myself in that story. I'm rooting for these kids, for some of them more than others. But anyway, I found myself caught up in it. What was it that told you that this was story material?
You know, there are these curiosities you have about the world. And then there's, as storytellers, you're looking for people to kind of take you through them. And so I think this offered both. You could sort of study the health of democracy at the same time as we were going to be able to really get to know a couple teenage kids in Texas. So I think, you know, fundamentally, you're looking for transformation if you make a story, a film, right? And this, in conversation with the leadership of this program, they would constantly talk about how this week really changed people. And, you know, part of us wondered or worried maybe that was just kind of program speak, but it ended up being very true in ways that we hadn't even really, we hoped that our kids would change, but they change in ways that surprised us and surprised themselves. And so I think those were the initial kind of appeals of this space.
It was also exciting to us that the program, which is a simulation in which teenage boys build a government, it's really complex and it's big. It's 1,000 teenage boys, and there's a house, and so there's a legislature. They meet in the Texas State Capitol. They run for governor. They run for dog catcher. I mean, that's not true, but there's a lot of secondary positions, So there's a complexity to the simulation, which is really appealing. It does kind of reflect and refract our national political structure, but it reduces it to a kind of manageable scale and a stage that was really appealing to us. There's a lot of drama, and there's an election, which are great because there's an outcome. There's a kind of end to the story. And we knew that the race for governor, which is the highest office at Boise State, was going to be hopefully the through line of our film.
Yeah, and so for people who can't sort of piece this together, and I wouldn't have been able to had I not watched the film. It's 1,000 students or more, I guess, who come to this week. Is it a week long? Is that how long the camp went? I mean, it felt like you covered so much ground in a week, all these elections. And they have to, as you say, build a whole government and figure out how they're going to have all these. They're kind of learning the process of state government and all. So it's really kind of a deep dive for, I guess, they're juniors and seniors in high school. They look like something like that. Like, it's sort of government class for the summer. I'm guessing it was during the summer. And you had to pick someone to people to follow. Did you follow? And you ended up with great, great characters. I mean, some of these boys, their personalities were incredible. There's a few kind of self-revealing moments in them that are really tell you a lot about how people are encultured into thinking what politics is about. So it's really insightful to think about how, especially the conservative pressures of Texas lay on top of some of these kids. And one might think, as I was feeling, you know, my politics don't fit so well with your typical Texas politics, right? But there's so much more to this story. There's so much more happening. How did you decide which people to follow? Or were you did you have a dozen film crews spread out across this thousands kids that are at this camp?
No, we really did follow four.
Seriously, you just got that lucky that these kids were that great and their story was that riveting.
Yes, yeah, there some luck and some intentionality. We did spend about 3 months before the event searching Texas, all points Texas, for the people we were going to follow through. We knew we needed to find them before this event got started, because once it does, it goes very quickly and you cannot cast on the fly. So knowing we wanted to follow somebody from the beginning of this process to the end, we set out with our short list of criteria for what we were looking for. So we needed a diversity of background, and we definitely needed diversity of political beliefs, because we wanted that tension. And we wanted to represent all points of the political spectrum. And we also needed them to be politically savvy, because we wanted them to have a chance to do well in this program. But we also needed them to be vulnerable enough for transformation, as I was talking about earlier, because they are film characters. So that's a lot to ask for. And it took us a long time to find Ben, Robert, and Steven. We actually did not find Renee beforehand. You meet him in the film the way.
Oh, really? He just showed up as a great character,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And then we said, well, you have to, we've been waiting for you. Yeah. You have to be in our movie. But I think the magic of this and the real luck of this movie is that they end up coming head to head with each other. So we found four characters that not only sort of do well in this space of Boise State, but they actually do confront one another.
So you didn't ask them to, say, run for governor or run for the chief of the party or something? They just chose that on their own? You didn't know that going in?
Yeah, I mean, when we were meeting boys and casting the film, we would say, are you planning to run for office? What office? And through that, we identified the kids who were most ambitious. Robert told us, I'm going to go big or go home. Yeah. We thought, well, okay, that's the attitude we're interested in. Ben, of course, says he plans to run for governor. He struggles. He has to pivot. And that was interesting to watch, too. So the level of political sophistication that they brought, that ambition that Amanda talked about, those were really preconditions. And we were drawn to kids who are really smart and experienced about the political process. Steven, of course, the young man from Houston, he's of Mexican background. He has worked in politics and worked on campaigns. And Robert has been a page in the U.S. Senate. So they brought something that we found very appealing, which was a real kind of adult thinking about politics. And yet they're still young guys kind of and teenagers in all the other ways.
Well, I really encourage people to watch it for those reasons. What do you you mentioned a little bit, Jesse, about that this is an indicator or a window into our current political moment. And it was curious because it didn't have the sort of anger that our current political moment has. It doesn't have the real sense of threat from one another that both sides of the political spectrum are feeling in this very moment. But what do you think this film says to adults who are really taking on these questions of how are we going to be as a government? Did you feel like there was a moment that really shined through? And you know, without the film isn't overly preachy, or it's not like a lesson in civic engagement anything.
But I think for one, myself for one, am tempted to tune out a lot of the national conversation, which seems so corrosive and toxic, and I'm tired of hearing the same narratives over and over again. I mean, we have to engage to a degree, but like, I'm looking for a fresh way to engage and think about these questions and to think about our future. And I think this film, these young men, this story offers a way to do that. I think the film is very honest about some of the challenges we face. I mean, we see dirty tricks. Yeah. We see some of the kind of deceptions that we see in national politics. We also see a great deal of integrity, of empathy, of things that we're desperately seeking and need in leadership today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it from young people in this film who are inheriting this future, this world that we've created for them, and they're not waiting. I think that's very hopeful. Mm-hmm. I think the film is honest, but also hopeful, and that it values throwing ourselves into this democracy, not standing on the sidelines, but recognizing that we all have a role to play, and that we can't take it for granted. The health of our democracy is really under threat. And so I think this film is a kind of call to arms to that central idea. It's also funny and fun. I mean, we laughed so much making this movie. I think that's really refreshing at a time when there's a lot of darkness in our lives. It's fun to laugh. It was a very emotional experience. I don't cry very often. I cried shooting this movie. I got so invested in some of these guys and their campaigns that when they won and when they lost, I cried and I leaped for joy. And that's kind of great to share with an audience too, who's looking for a different kind of experience, I think, in a film today, a documentary.
Well, I'll tell you that came through. My wife cried during the film. She is an easy cry, but not all the time. And she did. She said, "I can't believe it. I'm so invested in what's happening right now." And it wasn't a sad cry. That particular one was an emotional, an empathic connection on the cry. Amanda, do you have any thoughts about how it sits specifically? I don't know how to say this sort of right. It's an all boys camp, and it's got a very high school boys, and carries over the kind of political male testosterone thing. And how did that strike you? And what do you think it has to say to the larger population of especially such important women voters who are finding their way to engage in politics now? Was that a thing for you at all?
I mean, of course. I mean, I'm like a woman going into a room with 1,100 teenage boys. I've never been in a space like that before. I think that going into this project, with all of the questions and curiosities about polarization, and then once we got there, seeing the unique window we had into masculinity, that wasn't really our intended project, but there we are. And that's something that's really interesting, not just in this film, but in a lot of our, it interests us and in a lot of our work. So I think to spend time with this group, in the era of Me Too and in discussions about toxic masculinity and everything else, yes, machismo did play into a certain part of the story, but I think, and in ways I sort of expected, kind of, I bring with it preconceived ideas about, I knew we'd see some Lord of the Flies behavior, but what really deeply moved me, and I think it shows up in the movie, is what I hadn't expected, which is this which is embodied in Stephen, really, is this other kind of masculinity, this sort of the empathy and the serve others, not yourself, and the listening and the one-on-oneness of his retail politicking, and the very fact that he could not only navigate this space that was primarily white and primarily conservative, but also that he did so well, and that he summoned them to follow him, mm-hmm. and they went with him. And that to me was sort of extraordinary and kind of outside of the masculine feminine paradigm, and sort of just reminder that leadership, and this is not even a partisan issue, that leadership on that level that we're all craving of somebody like that, who can summon us to be hopeful and to be a bridge maker and to be, you know, all these things that America can promise. I think that was an exciting and kind of unexpected journey.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Is there a girl state? Is there a...
Oh, yes. Sorry. That's the other piece of what I wanted to say. There is a girl state. Okay. We cannot wait to go there and make a film.
Are you going to? Great.
I mean, you know, like a lot of things, these programs are not happening in person right now. And sure. So, you know, fingers crossed that when they do come back, we'll be there.
And one of the young men in our film, Stephen, when he gets to the program in the beginning, he says, well, what about people state? And yes. Have a program where there's boys and girls together. And I think this is the beginning of a project for us. We'd love to make, we hope to make girls state. We plan to. And then people state, too, would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I've just started looking around a little bit at the long history. And you do a nice job at the beginning of showing people that some might recognize in national politics that have been a part of this boys state. And I spent a lot of time thinking about politics. I didn't even know that sort of farm team of high school recruiting people up into politics was a thing. But obviously people are spending a lot of time thinking about it. I was curious, just knowing sort of how documentary film teams make an impact on the experience that the person they're recording is having. Do you think that you're following the people you followed, did that impact that other people voted for them or supported them? Like you're coming up with a film with a camera on your shoulder, or they've got a microphone on, or there's a boom over them. Do you think your filmmaking did anything to the outcome of them being the ones who, out of because there was a long list of people who were running for governor, and turns out that some that you were following did
that's
well.
Great. That's a good question, and it's a question we always ask ourselves in the documentary process. Yeah. And we don't pretend we don't exist. We're in the room, you know. We're take up space, and people don't necessarily forget we're there. But I think that we found first and foremost young men who were extremely confident, comfortable, kind of natural, being themselves. That's what made them attractive to us. As Stephen in the film has pointed out in answering this particular question, you know, the fact that we were following him didn't make it any easier for him to get signatures. It didn't. Oh, yeah, the fact that we were following Robert, his opponent, didn't give Robert an edge in that runoff election. In fact, Stephen does well. The fact that we didn't follow Eddie, who runs for governor against, there's some spoilers here, but
yeah,
so
I know.
The outcome is surprising, and I think argues that our camera sort of didn't ultimately determine that event outcome itself. I think at the same time we also acknowledge that the camera is, and the relationship that subjects have to a camera is complicated, and I think, I mean, what the boys also say is there's so much going on around them. It's such a kind of crazy hurricane of events and stimulation that we quickly receded into the background.
Sure.
We never disappear, but we're in the background. And so I'd like to think that, you know, it's pretty much what happened is what would have happened regardless.
Well, I raise it just because it's one of the issues that people in politics generally just wonder about politics, right? Those who get more attention seem to get more attention, right? And if you can create, there's a retail marketing media side to all of this.
Did the boys? Yeah,
it sure does. Yeah. Did these boys do they attend Boys State more than one year in a row? Like, had they been there previous years and knew their way around, or
you're not allowed to do that What does happen though is boys who go and girls who go through the program can return as counselors. So Stephen and Ben, two of the young men in the film, have returned to counsel, which is great. So they want to maintain that connection with the program and just nurture it. But you can't go through more than once.
I'll tell you. I mean, just the window you give into watching these 1,100 boys show up and have to learn all of this on the fly. And creates an entire infrastructure, you know, or function inside of an entire infrastructure they know nothing about. It's really amazing. It was an incredible thing to see. I mean, there was so much happening on the screen, other activities that are going on. And in the meantime, they're running elections and people are logging into computers and voting. And did you have a hard time navigating all that was going on, or was it straightforward for you as filmmakers?
It was a breeze. This was a very challenging production. And so we spent 3 months in pre-production trying to prepare for any possible, you know, thing we could. And of course, in all of that, the truth is, it's a real mix of control and chaos. And once everything gets started. And so we put together a great crew and we put together a great cast, and then you kind of just hold on and follow your instincts really about where you think the story is going and what trying to be there for those emotional moments when they happen. I mean, that's, if you don't get those, you really don't have a film. So we tried to film it all. I'm sure we missed stuff, but
well, it's a really great accomplishment, and you know, to your point earlier, Jesse, that my wife and I we watch a lot of news at night. You know, in COVID, and you're sort of trapped, and we've got this bad habit of watching horror films before going to bed. You know, we watch Brian Williams and just sort of shake our heads and fall asleep in dismay. And the night that we watched this, it felt like such a breath of fresh air. We still wanted to sort of think politically, kind of wanted another angle on that. And it was like this big relief to have something else to engage and to watch. So I'd encourage, if people are also in that spot, or even if you're not all that political, like I don't want to overstate, this is not a politico kind of documentary. You don't have to know this stuff. You don't even have to know how a legislature works or any of that. It's you do a great job, I think, of walking people along in understanding what's happening and why it has importance to those moments. So I just think it's terrific, and I'd really hope people watch it and benefit by it. And congratulations! You know, it says on the thing behind me that you're a Sundance U.S. Grand Jury winner. So that's a big deal. And did that have to happen for Sundance in a virtual way, or was this before COVID?
We were fortunate in that Sundance happened for real in January. We had the great experience of sharing the film in a theater with audiences. Something we hope we can get back to.
Wow.
And all the guys in the movie, you know, they really got to see themselves on the big screen, which really was
electrifying.
Is that the first time they had seen the film?
No.
One of them had never seen the film before. The other three had seen it in its rough cut stage. But it's still, I think, to see it with an audience who's discovering them for the first time was thrilling. And we've still been able to have some really good online conversations with them, with audiences. So we'll be doing that over the coming months too. And they're great. We sort of love to step back and let them talk, because they're still super interesting and growing up too. So.
Yeah, well, a lot facing them, and so much facing so many people in this country. And I know on the scale, it's, you know, it's not the same, but it's a big deal for you not to be able to have this film out in theaters and to have that audience experience. So I'm sad for you that hasn't happened. And maybe, I don't know how long a film lasts and what's going to happen when theaters finally open, but we're going to do all we can at Vote Common Good to find some way to get people to see this film. We think it's worth
it. Thank you.
So.
Well, we're all giving up a lot. I think we're just grateful we have partners who believe in the film and people who are helping us get the word out.
And thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
Well, you are welcome. You are welcome.
Work, we've done some work around those issues, and we think it's really valuable work.
I know your film, The Family. I'm familiar with it and know that crowd, and that's
That's another conversation sometime I'd love to chat.
I would very much love to have that, because that whole experience in that film was motivating for some of the work that a lot of us are doing, just realizing that there's a whole sophisticated back end that goes on one side of the political system that people don't know about. And, you know, sometimes you think the blessed are the organized rather than the blessed are the peacemakers. So you kind of got to organize your peacemakers as well.
Yeah. So thanks, Doug.
Hey, congratulations. And thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.